Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Right now, we're very privileged to have Nick Pope with us. Hello, Nick.
Hello, good evening.
Well, you're a bit of a character, aren't you? It's like something out of a science fiction movie. You worked for the British government. You ran the UFO project at the Ministry of Defence, and you were initially sceptical, but now I believe it's all changed.
That's right, yes. I researched and investigated UFOs for the British government for 3 years. It's been sort of dubbed the real X-Files by some people in the media. And yeah, I really did begin to change my mind. The British government has had about 10,000 UFO reports since 1950 when the project was set up. And some of those are just sensational.
When did you start to change?
Well, one of the... I think two things changed my mind. Firstly, it was going back through some of the old files on the subject, which sounds boring, but when it's all about UFOs and things, it's just absolutely fascinating. And some of these things were highly classified at the time. So I got to go back and look at some of the things that had happened in the past. These things have been tracked on radar. Jets have been scrambled to try and intercept them from time to time. And the speeds and maneuvers of these things just go beyond anything we've got. But one thing that really changed my mind personally was a wave of sightings from 1993, and a UFO flew over two military bases.
Nick, were you ever told to shut up?
No. I think there were one or two occasions where my bosses said, look, I think you've probably taken that inquiry as far as you can take it. But I didn't interpret that as any attempt to muzzle my views or curtail my inquiries. I think it was just that there were some people there who weren't as convinced as I was that the UFO project was worth doing.
What do you... Are you a young man? No, I ask that for a reason, because in my day it was never, ever discussed. It was a joke if you thought there were spacemen out there. It was ridiculous or anything.
I think, as you said a few moments ago, I think things are changing. And I think one of the things that's forced this change is the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, it is an amazing but true statistic that the Ministry of Defence receives more Freedom of Information Act requests about UFOs than any other subject, including Iraq. I mean, there is just massive public interest in this. And people, when they see some of the documents that the Ministry of Defence has released, either on the Ministry's website or at the National Archives, people are finding out that this is not just, you know, somebody out walking their dog late at night and seeing a light in the sky. It's military personnel, as Tom was saying, seeing these things on occasion having landed. It's people tracking them on radar. It's pilots having close encounters with these things.
And Nick, is there any conspiracy in the world that you are conscious of that they know that there could be an ultimate attack from somewhere out there, or they have information on this sort of thing?
I don't think there is. Now, that makes me quite unpopular with a lot of UFO researchers who are absolutely convinced there's a cover-up. All I can say is that, you know, having run the British government's UFO project, I've seen no evidence to support that. I'm in a catch-22 situation, though, because, of course, some people who believe there's a cover-up say, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? And they think I'm part of the cover-up. Another group of people say, well, maybe the British are just out of the loop, and if there's a cover-up, maybe it's in America. But no, personally, I've seen no conspiracy, no cover-up. In fact, quite the opposite. The MOD is generally pretty open on this. And as I was saying, you know, we get more Freedom of Information requests on UFOs than any other subject. And hundreds upon hundreds of documents and files have now been opened to the public.
Now, what about abductions?
Yeah, I've certainly investigated a number of cases where people claim, I suppose, what you might call the closest of close encounters, that they're actually taken by these entities onto the ships themselves. All I can say is, having worked with, I don't know, somewhere between 80 and 100 of these people, I guess. They don't strike me as people who are, in any sense, mad. And there have been a couple of scientific studies which have compared the abductees with control groups of non-abductees in double-blind experiments, and they've certainly found no evidence of psychopathology. Maybe they're lying, but then if they were, you would expect these people to be attention seekers. And yet, I mean, I work with lots of TV and radio people, and they're always saying, well, can you get some abductees to come onto the show? These people tend to run a mile when you say that, so they're not attention seekers either. So I think, you know, they genuinely do seem sincere that some strange experience has happened, whether they've physically been taken onto a spaceship or whether it's something else, some other sort of anomalous phenomenon that we just simply don't yet understand. I don't know. There's a wonderful phrase in the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind: ordinary people in extraordinary situations. And I do sometimes think that about the abductees.
What about these crop circles?
I think I'm going to be a bit of a party pooper here. I think most of those are probably made by people, and I've actually spoken to some of the people who do these things, and it's interesting. They don't consider themselves hoaxers. They consider themselves artists, sort of conceptual art, really, where the effect of what they do is as much a part of it as the pattern itself, you know, so all the media interest, the follow-up and things. I think some of, if you go back to the early days of the crop circle mystery, before you had these really complicated patterns, which I think, as I say, are probably made by people, you had much simpler formations, the real circles. And I think with those, there might be some sort of meteorological phenomena. I mean, it seems fairly clear that our weather is changing. You have tornadoes and wind vortices and things like that that you probably wouldn't have had a few decades ago. And that might explain some of the simple formations. But I suppose, as with all these things, I do keep an open mind.
Glenn sent an email because he's fascinated by the subject, and he's asked me to ask Nick. He says, could you ask Nick about the book You Can Tell the People? Apparently the book was... I beg your pardon, you can't tell the people. Apparently the book was named after the comments Margaret Thatcher made when asked about UFOs.
That's correct. In fact, it was written by a very good friend of mine, Georgina Bruni, and she wasn't a UFO researcher. She's actually a socialite and an event organiser, and she mixes with quite a lot of politicians, diplomats, military personnel, and she'd heard about the Rendlesham Forest UFO through some of her military and diplomatic contacts. And she wrote a book about it. And the title, yeah, there's an absolutely wonderful story. She was at a charity reception with Margaret Thatcher. And she went straight up to Margaret Thatcher and asked her about UFOs and the Rendlesham case. And Margaret Thatcher said back to Georgina Bruni, UFOs, she said, you must get your facts right and you can't tell the people. Georgina said, well, what do you mean? What can't you tell them? Why can't you tell them? And Thatcher simply repeated it. She said, you can't tell the people. So Georgina decided to call her book that. And it's fascinating. It really is, in many ways, just a sort of piecing together of the jigsaw. And really, the majority of the people that spoke to Georgina about this incident were the military witnesses that were involved in this case.
Do you read all the books about UFOs?
I try to, but there are hundreds of them, so it's difficult to keep up with them. But
do you have a favourite?
Well, You Can't Tell the People is one of the best ones. Probably my favourite book is one of the oldest ones, and you can probably only get it on Amazon or something these days. But it's called The Report on the Unidentified Flying Objects, and it's written by a chap called Edward Ruppelt. And Ruppelt headed the American government's UFO research program, which was codenamed Project Blue Book. So, in a sense, he was doing the job that I did for the Ministry of Defense, but years before I was years before I was born, actually. But it's a fascinating book. As I say, the report on the unidentified flying objects by Edward Ruppelt, and it really just gives you an insight into the early days of how the American government first got involved into this subject. It's packed full of cases with UFOs seen by military pilots, tracked on radar, that sort of thing. All the real good cases.
What are the worlds? Could it ever happen?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Most scientists are fairly sure that it's hugely unlikely that in this infinite universe we're the only life form and the only intelligence. So therefore, by the laws of chance and probability, you would suspect that the universe is probably teeming with life, some of it good, some of it bad, some of it indifferent. So the concept of alien invasion isn't totally beyond my conception.
Are you frightened of dying before you get your answers?
Well, I'll go first. I was going to say it would be extremely frustrating to die and then have aliens make first contact the day after. I mean, I'd be turning in my grave.
What ideally would you like to happen, Nick? I mean, would you like someone to land? Would you like people, or whatever these beings are, to actually get in contact and then for us to say, hey, it is happening, it is out there?
Yes, I would absolutely love to have a situation where there is absolutely irrefutable proof of the existence of intelligent extraterrestrials, and indeed contact with them, benevolent contact, not War of the Worlds type stuff. I would absolutely love the idea of reaching out the hand of friendship to another civilization and exchanging information about science, technology, philosophy, medicine, literature, art. I think we would have such a lot to teach each other. I think, you know, the day after first contact, the Earth will be a very different place. And it might actually, you know, it might actually bring us all together. Because I think if we could for a moment set aside all our political and religious differences and come to consider ourselves as just citizens of planet Earth, I think it might be a much better place.
Do you believe there are aliens living here with us?
Honest answer is I don't know. If they are, I guess they're disguising themselves in human form, and that would pose the question, why? Is it some sort of sinister infiltration, or is it just blending in and studying? I hope the latter. I mean, as I used to say in the MOD, I try not to rule everything out, anything out. You know, I try to keep an open mind.
What actually, and who set up the government department that you worked for?
It was set up in 1950, and it really owes its existence to the Ministry of Defence's chief scientific advisor at the time, the great radar scientist, Sir Henry Tizard. So one of the great figures of the Second World War, one of the great sort of scientific and technical figures. And he said, in 1950, when Churchill had brought him back into government and things after the war, he said, look, these UFO sightings shouldn't be dismissed, he said, without some form of proper scientific study. And we've never looked back since.
Who funds it? Just the government?
Well, it's in a sense, it's just part of the Ministry of Defence. So, I mean, you know, it's something. UFOs is something that's looked at as part of the normal sort of government of the country. In other words, if something intrudes into our airspace, it's going to be looked at, just as if any aircraft shows up on the radar that shouldn't be there. Someone's going to have a look at it.
And the government funding, were people against it at all?
Well, I mean, some people thought the whole UFO project was a waste of time and money. Other people thought that it should be hugely expanded. I mean, my view was always that this is a sort of situation where, the consequences of not looking at this could be huge. And it just seemed to me that it was worth our while trying to find out what, after all, would probably be one of the greatest revelations ever in the history of the human race. I mean, the day that we find out that we share this cosmos with other civilizations is going to be a day that no one will ever forget. If you think you knew where you were when JFK was shot, the day we make first contact is going to make that look like peanuts.
So what did you feel when we landed on the moon?
Oh, I was about 4 years old then. I mean, so probably not much. I was in bed.
Oh, right. I mean, but they've had all the conspiracy theories that it never happened.
Oh, I've got no time for that. I mean, one of the things that they did on the moon is that they left a reflector there, and just pretty much any university-level student can fire a laser at it, and it'll bounce back, and you can measure the distance from the Earth to the moon, and it won't be long before the telescopes are actually good enough that you'll see the various things we've left there, including right down to the flags. So I haven't got any time for that sort of we didn't land on the moon stuff, no. I'm a great supporter of NASA and the space program. I think the human race should be doing what we are doing, taking its first tentative steps out into space. Just the interesting thing for me is that others might be ahead of us.
If there are aliens out there, we'll call them aliens, if there are other beings, what is your perception of what they're like, you personally?
Well, I think it's extremely unlikely that there's just one other civilization. So I think it's actually as above, below. You know, I think there are probably going to be good aliens, bad aliens, and sort of indifferent aliens, just as people are like that. So there could be, in an infinite universe, I'm afraid to say there'll probably be the whole range of aliens from cuddly, fluffy ET type things right through to Geiger's alien that Sigourney Weaver came across. So you better hope that first contact is with some nice ones.
Do you watch all the movies?
Yes, I do, yes.
Any particular movie you like?
My favourite one is Contact, the one with starring Jodie Foster, because it's based on some fairly good science using radio astronomy to listen to signals from extraterrestrial civilizations, and we're doing that right now. So I think it's a great movie, and it's an interesting blend. It brings in some philosophy, it brings in some religion, but above all, it's just a great story.
So what about people who are on your side that believe in UFOs? What should they do about it? And you know, years ago, and there must be many people listening to this program now who've had an experience that haven't even told anyone because nobody believes them.
My advice would be this: get involved. Get on the internet, find a local UFO group, go to some talks, meet some other people, swap some stories and experiences. Maybe try and write something, write up your own story if you've had an encounter. Get involved, pay a visit to the National Archives in Kew, have a look at some of the government's UFO files. Go to the Ministry of Defence's website, mod.uk, look at some of the UFO info there. Make some Freedom of Information Act requests yourself if you're interested, if you're researching a particular story. Get involved. Write to the papers. If you ever see somebody rubbishing the subject, challenge them. Write in.
Nick Pope, you spent a lot of time with us, and we're absolutely thrilled, really thrilled. I know you've got something else to do, and really, really do thank you for being so long with us. It's been great.
Okay, well, thank you very much for inviting me on the show, and I'm sure you'll get some absolutely fascinating calls in the course of the rest of the show.
Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, thank you, I have.
That's amazing. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.